We are fucking back. Pop, pop, pop. Episode 63? These numbers are getting higher and higher every fucking time, baby.
I thought it was actually 73. But then
we're,
I remember
season 7. We're not quite in the 70s yet.
We're in season 7.
We are in season 7. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2D Podcast. We got a good one for you guys today. Hey. Martin Horger is becoming one of my favorite EDM artists to date. House, whatever you want to fucking call it. Tiesto used to be my man. Literally couldn't touch him. But I've been listening to this guy more and more frequently. And
no, I feel like Tiesto's so mainstream.
He is, but he's Tiesto's not like that guy, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not your classic celebrity.
Well, that's how they all are. They're all like house DJs are. Aside from, like, all right, Avicii, everyone.
I feel like Avicii, Fisher is like a big
Fisher. No, well, Fisher's guy. Fisher's like Fisher. When we first started listening to him, is much like was before he became that kind of like
guy.
You know, like we started listening to like. Like losing it before it even became.
That's
a
what
thing,
I'm saying.
Bro. We were like, on that. Our team was on it on like it. Early as fuck, dude.
And I saw you that know? Shit live, bro. Insane.
I want to see him so bad.
But you guys know what we fucking do here. New episode, new beer every time. And we're going back to one of our top breweries.
Indeed.
In the past, we've had our number. Let me scroll down. Our number one. Where's the sours?
Down 22.
22. Okay. So, regardless, scratch that
you know
other one. But the number one beer we have is from this brewery. So, I'm interested to try this. Holy shit,
Summer,
bro. Sour Monkey has dropped.
Summer Love.
Also, is not number 22 anymore because we have had...
Sorry.
We've had a discrepancy with our podcast schedule document. We edited it one time, but nothing saved.
You want to know what's interesting is like all these beers, whatever rank they're at, is the highest they'll ever be.
Exactly.
So, bro, I've been having, you know what I've been having a lot lately?
Let's pass these.
Allagash White.
Dude, Allagash
I've
White.
I've been drinking it.
Is
bro,
underrated.
You know Blarney Station in Rutherford has Allagash White on tap?
Allagash White on tap is unreal. They have it at One Republic across the street, too. Or they had it at least. I don't know.
Precise. Unbelievable beer, but. We're back to victory.
This one is Summer Love Golden Ale. So obviously
we're
reaching
the
end of the semester.
Well, they do have their seasonal beers.
This does say seasonal favorites on the box.
Yeah, so I showed you the one.
Smells interesting.
I showed you the winter one when I was at the liquor store that one time.
Ooh. This has a good taste to it.
See, I like this way better than Sour Monkeys.
I mean, bro, Sour Monkeys, as we've stated, it's a must-get if you've never gotten it. But after you got it, probably not going to want it again. That's what I have thought of Sour Monkey. Like, if no one's ever had a sour beer before,
yeah, you
gotta. You have to try it. And if you're going to try one... Now, granted, we have the Brooklyn Bel Air Sours higher. So,
but it was better. It was better.
We'd recommend that one, but... If you would want to get, if I don't know how available that one is. That one wasn't available. The Victory beers, I feel like, are in a lot of places. So.
This is fire.
But
like
this is fire. This is only, usually, you know, Victory is known for their high percentages. This one is more mild. 5.2, your average.
But those are their seasonal ones, though. Their seasonal ones are all, like, kind of
your average. I like this a lot. I got my ranking for this.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Three, two, one, 7-6. Ooh, close. Feel like we haven't had like a, like I've, you have, okay, so like there, I don't know if you understand what I'm about to say, but there's like your grouping of tastes, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, but I feel like I haven't brought it up in this way. I feel like all shit beers kind of taste the same, but once you reach the... Above the 7, as we've said, it has a different average beer taste. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has... Okay, let me take a sip and try to formulate some ingredients. Fresher. That's not an ingredient. But, like, less bitter, more...
Yeah, that's a good way.
Sweet.
It's a lighter, like, lighter as in, like, it go it, like, it's not, like...
Wait, it goes down super easy, doesn't leave a bad aftertaste. It's a actually little leaves hoppy. A good aftertaste.
It's a little hoppy, but it's
not overpowering. Yeah. At all. That's it, the hoppiness. Okay. I have to write these down. 7.6 and a 7.2?
Yep.
Not bad.
Pretty good.
So... We promised this on the finale, but...
What, the averages?
Yeah. We promised this on the finale. It only took us 3 episodes to do it, but we fucking didn't. We always, always come through on our promises, and stay tuned to the end of the episode where I present Paul with an idea that he has no clue. Make sure you remind me.
Okay.
Because we usually say shit like this and then end up forgetting. But stay tuned to the end for the potential announcement. We did our averages of the beers.
Well, Caruso did the calculation. I did. In Excel.
Super easy. In Excel. However, keep in mind, this does not account for our season 6 beers. And this does not account for our current season's beers. And I'm not including the sus rankings. This is, again, its own separate beer ranking system. So, Paul, this is very, very, very close. I did 3 averages. I did Paul's average. I did my average, and I did the combination of us both, right? So Paul's average is, interestingly enough, which I did not think that this was going to be the case. I thought it was going to be flip-flopped. But Paul's average is a little bit higher than mine. His sits at a 6.73, and I had to go to the second decimal point, or it would all be 6.7, because mine is a 6.66. Shout out the devil. That's odd.
Yeah, no good.
And then the combination of us both is a 6.7 flat. Which if I extend it an extra decimal point, I wonder how...
You want to know... I'll tell you this. What's interesting is that...
Wow, the combo is 6.696.
Which great. Like we've said, I mean, that's like... If we're talking consistency in the way we've talked... Like, that's like what you'd expect.
Mm-hmm. Based on how we've said our ranking is set up compared to what... Our actual rankings are.
Yeah, because you would expect that most beers are not garbage or shit, right? So you expect something above a 6. But we've also stated that 6 is like a drinkable beer.
Yeah, that's your right? handed it, and so you're not
it's,
mad.
Yeah, so it's over a 6, but it's also under the 7, because 7 is where we start to distinguish like good beer from...
Yes.
Like, okay. So it's like, that's, you like to hear that. It means that we're being consistent with how we're
ranking. We're not just fucking bullshitting. We're not just throwing numbers out, you know. And it's good that at this has 36 beers in it. I'm interested to see how the last season and this one has changed that average, if it's gone exponentially more or less.
I feel like it's going to stay similar. I mean, we're starting to develop like a good database to where...
Yeah.
Our averages won't move as much, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. 1 and 2. I feel like in the past few seasons, we haven't had that many outliers in
terms of... That's what I'm saying. I feel
in
like...
In the 4s or in the high 8s.
Exactly. You know? Last season, the range... I mean, I can look at it. I still have... Actually, I don't have all of it. But yeah, it's really between... The lowest I see is a 5.7 from Paul.
No.
No more than an 8 anywhere. I don't see any 8s. Oh, Bira, 91 Blonde. And some 5s. Yeah, so good spread as well.
Yeah.
Good spread.
Yeah, it's like it's pretty consistent. I mean, I feel like we're going to come across that a lot as mm-hmm. we start straying away from your known beers, because we've started to have like...
Yeah, we're hoping to reach our first 9.0 plus average soon. Because now... The Golden Monkey is an 8.85.
It's the highest.
It's the highest we have. The only 9 ranking is mine on the Pumpkin. But overall, it was an 8.5 because Paul gave it a fucking 7.9.
Yeah.
To each their own.
Yeah, that's one of our bigger discrepancies, too.
Moral of the story, we're fucking like that.
Yeah.
Now let's get on to some life updates. Some big, big, big stuff is happening at Shamrock Technologies.
Is this, like, company classified information? Because there's also big stuff going on at my company, which I still haven't mentioned.
And it will remain that way.
And it will remain that way, because I have some...
Like, until you're the CEO and you don't give a fuck.
Yeah, but then I don't know how it works with, like, releasing information. Because if I was the CEO,
well, this
we would have a lot of listeners who would want to invest.
I won't give away too much. I'll give away the bare minimum. Because now that I'm thinking about it, if I just started going off the walls, I definitely would have said some shit that probably isn't the best to release for public
Shamrock
information.
Well, Shamrock isn't, like, a publicly traded company.
No, it's private. Correct. Right, yeah, we are exactly. Not on the stock market.
Oh, well, here we go. I work for a publicly traded company, so I can't give away information because it'll be considered probably insider information. So, you know.
So.
There you go.
Basically, what's happening right now is two of my projects are coming to a close. I honestly don't give a fuck if I release too much information because I doubt anything's going to come of this. Right now, our engineering department in Newark, because we have different branches, Kentucky, China, Belgium, South Carolina. The one in Newark, our engineering department consists of 4 people and our senior engineer. So technically 5, but the majority of the workforce is going to 4. You know, he's just the manager guy. He works on one vessel in our company specifically, our electron beam. But he doesn't really go into anything else. Because that's, bro, the electron beam is an insane part of, like, there's so much that goes into it.
Yeah.
So you need to have the senior engineer on it. Like, it's the most dangerous vessel that we have in our plant, by far. Maybe that in the ovens, but the E-beam, obviously, it's radiation. You know, nothing, no danger comes close to radiation, regardless. Of those 4 engineers... 2 of them are gone right now. They've been gone for 2 weeks. They're going to be gone. Well, 3 weeks now because we're at the end of this week.
Are they on vacation or are they like...
They're both... One of them's on a trip to our branch in Kentucky for a month. And the other one is on... he's on a visa trip because if he doesn't go back to India for a month out of the year, he gets deported. So he's actually over there doing some work as well. He's doing raw material. He's meeting with raw material suppliers for us. So he's doing stuff over there. But they're gone. They're not here.
Yeah.
So it's me and this other kid. Should I release names? No. It's me and this other kid.
Give him like a name.
Give him a name. We'll call him Slacker.
Okay. Slacker.
If he's ever watching this, know it's kind-hearted. And he knows because I joke about this with him all the fucking time. I go 7 to 3:30 every day. This kid shows up at 8:30. He'll show up at 9:30. Some days he shows up at 10:30. Granted, he stays the full 8 hours. Like, he'll stay till 4:30, 5:30, 6:30. But, you know, he's all around. We'll call him Mr. Bouncy. We'll say that. He's not a slacker. I shouldn't have said that. We'll call him Mr. Bouncy. I get news 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The end of that week. The first week that both the other two engineers are gone. That our plant manager... is putting in his 2-week notice, of which his last day is tomorrow.
Is that the head engineer?
That's the senior engineer. Uh-oh. The plant manager is the manager of the fucking plant.
Yeah.
And he's the one I always went to for help on all my projects, as well as the one that's going to India, but he's gone, and now he's gone. So... I have projects that have a deadline prior to the other engineers coming back, so I now have to do it all by myself. But what does that also mean? That means a position's open.
So what, you're getting a promotion?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I went to my HR guy. He's my boy. Fucking absolutely love this guy. One of the kindest, most understanding people I've ever met. Perfect for HR. Helps me out with a lot of other stuff. He's the one that brought me into the company.
Yeah.
I go to him. I'm like, listen. Obviously, there's Trevor's... Oh, fuck. The plant manager... Well, he's not affiliated with Shamrock anymore. So it doesn't matter.
I thought that's tomorrow, though.
But this is getting released tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Fuck Trevor.
No, I love Trevor. I love him. But I was like, obviously he's leaving tomorrow. So I don't know what the process is as far as if you guys have already are looking into getting another person. The answer to that was no. But I would like to try to step in and help out. Because I understand, like, myself. Like, I'm a young guy. I'm a young engineer. I've only been there really for a year. Because yeah. prior to that, I was an intern. Wasn't doing anything related to what I'm doing now. And also part-time, which I was a glorified janitor for four weeks. So I've really only been there for a year.
Yeah.
So I was like, listen, I know that I'm not at the experience level to be able to do this properly. And I know that myself. That's not shitting on me. That's not saying I'm a dumbass. I just know that if I were to take that position right now, I wouldn't do a good enough job. And yeah. I don't want to do that to myself. However, I said, you know, I'd be remiss if I were to let this opportunity slide. There's obligations that need to be filled. I aspire to be the plant manager one day. So what better time than now to start learning some of these responsibilities, take the load off some other people, put it onto myself until the next plant manager is found. So I've been given some responsibilities. I've been doing some stuff. And at the end of the day, we'll see where things go.
So now you're like, you've gotten some more. Does that include a raise?
No, it does not include a raise because I'm not officially getting the position of plant manager or, you know, assistant manager. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not getting a title change.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a little crazy to ask for. I'm just adding a
responsibility. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Because other people are going to be having to take responsibilities as well, like for scheduling and things of that nature, and they're not getting a raise. So I strictly just want to take this opportunity to see if I can learn anything, get anything back, so that 5 years from now, if that's still a possibility, then I'd be more prepared. Yeah. Because I'd already have an understanding as to what needs to happen for the plant manager.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. So now you're going to be fucking more work stress, huh?
Yeah, bro. I'm stressed as fuck, bro. I'm moving. Fuck it. Let's talk about it, bro. I'm moving this one process vessel from one location to another in the plant because we're getting new equipment that's going to go in the place of that. So, like, I'm doing, like, I can't stress, like, I'm literally planning everything and pushing everything along by myself. Like, there's nobody else doing it. I'm obviously getting help from our maintenance staff. I've getting contractors to come do work. But nobody's pushing this along but me. Like, this is my project. I'm running point. And it's getting to the point where that deadline is at the end of May. And I said the first one's going to be moved by the end of next week. And I don't know how we're going to get that to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we got to start it on, like, Monday or Tuesday of next week. But I'm going to work it out because there's only a little bit left. But it's just frustrating ordering parts that say we were supposed to get a part for it last week and it still didn't come in. I'm calling about it, and now they're telling me the plant or the manufacturing plant has no clue when it's going to be ready. Like, he's trying to figure shit out, but he doesn't know, and they're not answering him and all that stuff, blah, 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 whatever. And it's just stressful, man, because, like, meeting deadlines and going through all this stuff, it makes me feel like I'm not doing a good enough job when I know that's not the case. Like, I know I'm working hard. I know I'm working my ass off. I know I'm doing the right things. But when some timeline is expected of you and then you don't reach it, the people who aren't watching me work, all they think is, oh, you know, he's slacking off or he's not getting the job done. And then they might not be as comfortable giving me a big responsibility at a later time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to crunch this shit. I'm thinking next week I'm going to be working like 10-hour days.
Nice.
Next week I'm going to try to do overtime. I'm going to talk to the senior engineer tomorrow and be like, yo, can you sign off on some overtime for me? I need to get this done and then go from there.
I mean, that's fire. Overtime? You get some overtime money?
Hella overtime, bro. Time and a half?
Gas.
Gas.
You need that.
Need that.
Extra poker money.
Mm.
You know?
Speaking of fucking poker money, this guy, Paul, comes on this fucking show. I'm fucking.
No, wait.
No. You'll have your time.
And I'll explain.
I'm fucking winning money. I'm fucking like that.
I've talked about casinos. Wait. Disclaimer. Before you even continue, yeah, I say I play a lot of poker. I never sit there and say I win every time I play. I lose.
So you know where this fucking story is going now, obviously. I play online poker all the time, blah, blah, blah. This guy fucking Paul, last week, comes to this house. We got an eight-person table of poker. No limit hold'em. $50 buy-in. Paul buys in for a hundo.
Yeah, because I had nothing. It was Good Friday. I fasted the whole day.
I shit you not. Paul walked in the door and walked out in 45 minutes.
Probably like 40. Because I wanted to go to the cliff, but I'll explain like
that. And guess who took all his fucking money?
Caruso.
Me. All right, I cashed out $360.
I walked in there, and the first thing I said when I sat down, like, I came here to lose $100, but I want to have some fun and pass some time while
I'm waiting. But he says that. Okay, I'm sorry. I gave you your time.
Yeah.
You gave me my time, I'll give you yours.
So I come in here, right? And obviously, I'm making statistically wrong plays, only to be outmatched by even more incorrectly, like, statistically wrong plays. And sometimes you get paid off, like you gamble and you win money. And the first hand that Caruso played with me, it was like a hand. I forgot. I raised with a hand I probably shouldn't have raised. Right, he calls. Flop comes out. He hits like bottom pair or something, or middle pair. I hit top pair. So I check, right? I think. Or you bet. You bet like 7. I raise to 20. I bomb it for 21, right? Like, you know, trying to show, like, you know, I'm ready to play.
Yeah. He's not this fucking guy, around.
And I have top pair here. I'm trying to make it look like, oh, like I'm just punting away money. This guy calls me. I could understand why he calls me. Turn comes, it's whatever.
I want to draw. Yeah,
he gets like a straight draw. So if he needs on like one card, essentially he's got. I mean, his percent chance. I looked it up. I looked at the odds calculator. It was like, because I'm always curious. It was like, at this point, he probably had like a 20-something% chance to win over my.
A lot of outs.
He had outs. 20%, but still, doesn't really warrant a call. When I first raised, and then when he picked up the actual draw, like, it doesn't really warrant calling my all-in, because I went all-in. He calls me, right? I'm ahead with one card to go, and then he wins.
It was $40, I think, was the all-in.
Yeah, he wins.
The river was my straight.
Yeah, his straight. And how do I react on, like, you know, other people complaining this, that? Fuck it. And then what happened? Another hand, I end up saying, I'm going to be all in on the flop no matter what comes out. Right? Mm-hmm. Flop comes, I air it. Nothing.
Yeah, because you weren't all in the last hand. You raised it to 40 and I called, or 41.
No.
Because you can't be all in, lose, and then play again.
No, I went all in. But essentially I covered it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I remember.
And then I went all in no matter what. Juan complained, but I told Caruso later on it was his fault that Caruso won that hand. Because he completely misplayed it. So he has no excuse to be like, you know, complaining about it. He completely misplayed it as well. It was just like, when I sat down, I want to come here once and play like seriously. Because I can't play seriously when people are making decisions.
You had the bar to go to. So
yeah, and I knew, I was thinking about leaving. And I always feel like shit when I show up somewhere. And then like, I say like, oh, I want, like, I gotta go. Like, I don't normally play. Like, I normally play like 6-7 hours when I sit down.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just donate like $100. I won like recently, like a lot. So I was like, okay, like I'll fucking gun it. Donate some money, you know, to like these guys. You guys also. This is another thing. I think I told you this, even though you ended up sorting out the money issue. Like,
yes, there was people, only a $4.
You gotta have a bank.
Yes.
That has to happen. We have it at our home.
If you Venmo, you all Venmo one person, so they have it all in their account.
Yeah. Like, that's how someone clears out their Venmo, transfers all their money, and then gets all the Venmos, right? Yes. Or you could pay with cash too, but that's also the, yeah. You pay when you get your chips.
I agree.
Not like in advance, because then someone's like, oh, I owe you, and then it's like months of not paying back.
Exactly. You know? We've all been there. But no, bro, I was hitting straights all night.
Guy was running hot.
Bro. I was running hot. I was getting lucky. I had a straight flush draw off the flop one time. Hit just a regular straight on the river for an all-in for somebody else. But a lot of outs there. I was just hitting. I got 366. But the thing also, and I think maybe one of the people actually who played listens to this podcast, but like they're not like a high level poker players. Like some of them were.
I can't sit but, there.
But like
I
half can, of no, them no, no. were not because no they were one's just a high making level bad calls.
No one there like has a high level like. I mean, I assume that mostly everyone was playing seriously and trying, yes, yes. Unlike me, right? People were making, like, bad decisions. And the problem is like, it's like, kind of one of those things where it's easy for me to make, like, oh, like, I almost... One, it's easy to outplay those people. If it mm-hmm. was like bigger, you know, people had more money, it would be a little. But two, like, if like I feel like if I could stay longer, it would have been easy. Like, because when and also the
it's thinking, a different style the of
thinking,
play with
that group. The thinking behind decisions
it changes
is different. I feel like people bet. And they don't know why they're betting.
Yeah.
Or
they bet because they feel like they should.
Yeah, they bet because, oh.
Yeah, it's not casino.
Well, what are you betting? What are you betting and what are you targeting? You know, like
that's. But that's the thing. Like in games that we play with those heads, it's not about that process. It's like, oh, I have a pair. Let me bet. Like they don't have the analysis that you're thinking about, you know? So you have to kind of play it a different way. Like they see bluffs as a good play style, like something to rely on, not something.
You can bluff.
I know, but
you
like,
can't be. The key is to not be exploitable. That's always the end goal of poker.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like if it's like you can't be bluff heavy, you can't be value heavy. Because if you're betting for value, then it means like you're betting because you think you're ahead mm-hmm. or you're winning, right? You can't be value heavy because then everyone knows, okay, he's betting, he has something. Or you know those people. And then you also know the people who, like, I should probably call most of the time because most of the time they play like shit or they don't have shit. And it's like, see, for example, in the hand against you, I was betting for value because I knew that you didn't think I had shit, right? And it was like, okay, well, I know I could go for max. Normally in a hand in a casino, when you raise on the flop, to seven or whatever, I just call, I'll flat call you, and I'll probably check the turn as well,
mm-hmm.
and I'll check call all the way down until the river and probably fold.
Yeah,
you know, that's normally the thinking, because like
but here's the thing, I'm not I don't really think about what the other person could have. I don't let that play into my decision making as much. I know I do. I'm just saying it's not like the first thing on my mind. The first thing on my mind is, okay, well, how have the cards been playing out today?
That's a terrible...
I know. Because I know that in reality, that really doesn't mean anything because it's all statistics. But how have the cards been playing? What am I going for? What are the chances I can get that? And is this person's bet worth it enough for me to see the next card? So
well,
if,
that's,
I, if
that's,
I were to have...
That's,
let's say,
that's
for
good
instance,
logic.
Let's say, for instance, I have 4-6 suited...
Yeah.
And I believe 5 and 7 of hearts came out. So I had 4, 5, 6, 7 of hearts. I had a straight flush draw. I could hit any flush, give me an 8 or a 3. You give me a straight. Any of those in hearts gives me a straight flush. So when you bet a large amount of money, it's easier for me to call with such a pretty hand potential. I don't necessarily think about, oh, well, what's my outs percentage, you know, all that stuff.
Well,
what could he have? How is he betting and how could that potentially relate to the cards that he has? Obviously, I just take your bet, whatever you bet, and pin that up against my feeling as to how much my hand could be worth. Well, is it worth it to see the next card?
I'll tell you this.
It's straight flush draw, $40?
Straight flush draw.
I'll fucking see someone, that every time.
Straight flush draw, let's say.
And I hit an 8. It wasn't a straight flush.
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah, but flush, I'm just but saying, that's one of your outs. I'm just saying, like, you put in, I don't know, let's say, like the pot's like $40 and someone puts in an all in for 50. Yeah, you also
keep that in consideration.
Someone puts in all in for 50, overbets the pot, you don't make that call. But then if someone makes
depending on your hand.
And also, no, depending on your stack size. Well, yeah, if you have the nuts, then obviously
it's a clear cut call. That's what I'm saying, it depends on your hand.
But like if you don't have anything, you're just on draws. Like, you're sitting there, let's say, hypothetically, that's the best draw
you could
have.
Yeah, but you can miss, but you could also fucking hit. And in this scenario, because again, you got to think about the different mentality for the different style of game. In this game, where I know the people I'm playing with, and I know that at the end of the day, I haven't really put too much money into this, I'm more willing to just kind of throw $40 on a glimpse to potentially win 90.
Yeah, that's true. That's another thing. Like, you're not... if you stack those bets, if you put them into scale, it's like you're facing like a $40 bet in that game, you're facing like a $200 bet.
Yeah.
In
it's different. A lot of things.
And it's like, it's a tough spot to be in.
You know what else is a tough spot to be in? Nick Cosdron. It is a tough position to be the middleman between the coaches, the players, and the alumni. We have unfortunately been informed that the NJIT Men's Soccer Alumni Game is going to be canceled. There will be no game between the current squad and the alumni, of which Andy Alvarez has already booked a ticket and is flying down at the end of fucking August for this shit, and we have to hear about it 2 weeks prior. Yeah. A week and a half prior.
Yeah, I spoke to him about this. To be fair, it's like
not. It's not in their hands. It's not in their hands.
And they were trying.
He's the messenger, though.
No, he was telling me they were trying to make it happen, but stupid fucking NCAA rules fuck him over, and you know how it is with the fucking administration. Garbage people up there.
Garbage.
Garbage people in the offices. Enough said, though. We got to get into the fucking gist of it. Because we're already, 32 minutes in?
We're already halfway in, and we haven't even gotten into the fucking main topic of today, which is, interestingly enough, sports. Performance-enhancing drugs are littered in today's society. Steroids,
I feel like they were worse back in the day.
If you know, you know. They were worse. Even I'm on performance-enhancing drugs right now. I take creatine.
That is a PED. I actually think that's
against NCAA.
Is it against NCAA?
You cannot have creatine.
Then why were the guys on our team having creatine and it was?
All right. Well, you've just the bombed guys.
No,
some
no,
crazy.
No. Because it was okay. Because Carson said it was okay. For I forgot what reason. I think it's okay to use creatine.
I don't think so. I think it's on the list.
Look
of
up.
Prohibited.
Look up creatine. If it's, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. It's not categorized in the. Is creatine legal in the NCAA?
NCAA banned substances. Creatine is in there. Are impermissible nutrition that NCAA member institutions may not provide to student athletes, a.k.a. creatine.
Yeah, but they may not provide. The institution can't provide it to them, but I'm pretty sure it's not a banned substance from the NCAA, like fucking, like, what's that fucking shit that gets you jacked real quick? SARMs.
Yes.
What?
Hold on.
Fact checking.
Okay. So you're correct. The school cannot provide us with creatine, but if we have creatine, it's okay.
Yeah. But SARMs is like.
But it's still a performance enhancer.
Yeah, it is. That's true. That's true. Although, it's not like fucking steroids, you know?
Mm.
Like, that's... I mean... Because it doesn't really, like, make you fucking...
Well, it says it adds water molecules to muscle fibers, which causes the fibers to separate. So it allows your muscles to tear easier, which allows you to build muscle faster. So it is performance enhancing.
I don't know, like, the whole... chemical science behind it. I've heard it before, but it's one of those things where, I mean, I don't really see a problem in it. Right? I don't know.
I don't see a problem in it for most things, but the no video anymore. You guys don't know what's happening. Regardless, I think things like creatine and, you know, pre-workout and all these amino acids and BCAAs and shit like that, which is an amino acid, I think those are fine. But once you cross the line of the stuff you can buy at GNC,
yeah, that's
a good, you know what I'm saying? That's the line. Once you start going to HGH,
SARMs,
testosterone, SARMs.
You could buy Tez at GNC. Yeah, you can.
Not like real testosterone. You have to get that prescribed by a doctor. It's like something, but it's not.
No, there's Tez boosters at GNC, bro. Yeah, I'm telling you. There's literally Tez boosters. Tom Radon used to work at fucking GNC, and he told me about like fucking Tez boosters and how much they fuck you up.
Okay, so you can buy these, but it's like, are these real?
Yeah, they help. Like the people could buy them. Yeah. Tez boosters are legit, and it fucks your body up too. Like if you take it, because then your body develops like a dependence on the testosterone. Let's say that you're taking, and then it doesn't naturally produce testosterone anymore. So it's legal to buy. Well, no, it's offered in stores, but I don't know like the whole. What is this right here?
This is their website.
GNC's website.
Prostate and virility. Multivitamin.
Yeah, it's shit like that.
But I don't think it. It's not like literally sticking testosterone and putting it into your system.
Well, blood doping too, like that.
Blood doping is another thing as well. But how do you feel like athletes-wise? Do you think it should be banned? Do you think it should be allowed?
Yeah. Hell yeah, it should be banned.
What are your feelings on these
things? Well, let's say, for example, in a sport like baseball or football, fuck yeah, it should be banned. I mean, people see the difference with guys who take roids versus guys who don't.
Very like not.
Yeah. I mean, those guys, I mean, I understand that, like, okay, yeah, it was a great accomplishment what Barry Bonds did, but, like, and I think, to be fair, he should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but there's no denying the fact that, like, he definitely would not have hit as many home runs if he wasn't fucking on roids, you know? It's like, I think there's no problem with it when it comes to, like, personal use, you know, but if we're talking in terms of sports, you don't think that it's bullshit? It's like you're getting an unfair advantage, you know, like especially in sports like that where like strength is like is super important.
Okay,
right? It's even like football, like,
but what if I completely agree with you, but what if there is a different league or group, right?
Then everyone would
fight. That allowed these things.
I mean, would the...
like weightlifting.
Would the consumer be... would the consumer... my response is, would the consumer be interested in purchasing that product? So
okay,
who would
telling
really
me,
watch?
You're telling me you don't want to watch a bunch of fucking old P motherfuckers hitting soccer balls, hitting fucking... 120 mile an hour screamers. You're telling me you don't want to watch a bunch of fucking like roided out football players that just fucking rock the shit out of people?
I mean, or basketball players. Here's my thing with that. It's like roided out football players. I feel like some of these dudes look like already like are to the point where like they're.
It's, and that's what like I'm saying. You give that motherfucker steroids.
Yeah,
how
but
high
that
is
motherfucker's not gonna leave the NFL because again. People aren't going to buy the product more than the NFL. It's not going to surpass the NFL. So those guys,
okay, you're
are
thinking
stay
about
to
it too
NFL.
Literally. You're thinking about it way too literally. Let's say hypothetical circumstance.
I just wouldn't be interested. That's what I'm telling you. I wouldn't be interested in watching it because they're really not the best.
Watching guys on par fives hit the green from the fucking tee.
Have you seen the fucking power drivers? No. Like the guys who go like who there's like a sport where you go for distance and
try. Yeah, I've seen that.
Those dudes are fucking yoked and they hammer balls. Yeah. I honestly don't think that we would see much of a difference. Like it would give you like, because those guys who are already the best in the world, they wouldn't leave. Let's say like the PGA Tour or the MLB or the NFL, just to play in this brand new league. Like for what? If they're gonna end up getting paid less, because it's gonna get less ratings, right? So what I'm telling you is like, one, it's impossible that it's gonna happen because yes. you won't get, and two, I don't really think there would be much of a difference in terms of, like, there might be a little bit of a jump in terms of all the
statistics,
like no, like the power aspect of it, and like those statistics, but in terms of like raw skill. It's not going to be the best players. You okay. understand what I'm saying? Because so all these sports take skill. Yeah.
So what sport then do you think would be the most interesting to watch if everybody was allowed to take steroids? Hockey?
No. Those are some tough-ass motherfuckers.
Gymnastics? Dude. If you quantify well, that you as gotta a sport?
Be, you got to be, like, super flexible. I don't know if that, like... Maybe, like... I don't even want to say football because that takes skill. Like,
what about Olympic sports?
Weightlifting, obviously.
Bro, like the javelin throw, watch somebody fucking oh, yeah, sling those, something.
Okay, like a lot of the Olympic sports, yeah.
Track?
I think those like, are like...
we just got guys yeah. fucking busting out sub-8 40 or sub-8 fucking 100 meter dashes.
Is that what it would do though? Would it make you like that much faster? Because you don't know. Have to think like... What was Usain Bolt's time? 9.08?
No.
9.
No. Not, it's like 9.3 is the fastest 40. Or the fast. I keep saying 40. Fastest
100.
Eagle 100 meter dash. 9.58. Yeah.
9.58. Usain Bolt. Yeah. Like, how much lower would it get? That's the point that I'm trying to make. It's like, because you would think Usain Bolt's jump would be to like, I don't know how much, but.
A sub-9?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Like, how much faster could you really fucking get? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
throwing stuff would be big, though. Throwing, the javelin, yeah, like if those the dudes, fucking discus, the hammer yeah, shit.
Yeah, those, and like, and then, of course, weightlifting. Like, those, would, there would probably be a big difference. But if we're talking, like, the skill sports, I don't know. Or even like, yeah, like sprinting.
Well,
I don't know
skill how much sports, of an effect... you just take a professional athlete who has the skill and you fucking give them roids and see what they can do.
That's how you get Barry Bonds. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. So but what then... if we had just a million Barry Bonds and he wasn't even that physically fit? He didn't even give a shit. Well,
those dudes aren't that physically fit to begin with.
I know, but that's what I'm those saying. Are
some You have some fat you fucks in the MLB. Mike
Trout. Some fucking steroids.
I mean, that would be scary.
That's what I'm saying. But this is what I'm saying though.
New so Jersey guy.
What about basketball?
I'm curious.
You give somebody like fucking Bron in his prime steroids, but like, what is like, he doing? Like again, nobody, like my, nobody. Again, I my it, point it is doesn't like, change. The I don't skill think it's factor. Statistically. It's not going to make him a yeah, better like, shooter. It's not going to. It make just him makes more him. Finesse.
It makes him stronger. But like, does that impact his speed though? Like, I don't know.
You can get faster because your legs muscles are stronger. Yeah, you might be like, heavier.
You're heavier, and then in turn, like, all right, your legs might be. I don't know the impact. Aside from, I'll tell you what it might have an impact on, recovery time. So, like, that's the biggest difference.
Yeah.
So, like, that would allow guys who, I mean, that's why, like, blood doping was so big, because it just allows for a quicker recovery time, and then you could ultimately, like, be 100% for every fucking game. Yeah, I think that would make a difference, statistically speaking. What kind of increase would we see though? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Like maybe an increase in like couple statistics a game. Like nothing.
Mm.
I think it's funner to see like streaks of like players who aren't on shit, who are just like insane. You know, like you get their streak of like 10, 20 games yeah. from like one player who's playing like out of their mind. Whether it was LeBron actually, back in the yeah. day or KD, Steph Curry, fucking these guys, right? You get a streak of them, like that's like fun to watch, right? Where some guy just pops out of the blue and is doing out of this world things. Jeremy but like
Lin
Sanity, I was gonna mention that. Lin Sanity, I was watching big. Like some highlights the other day. Bro, but again,
those documentaries are sick.
But again, like Linsanity, like, do you really think like how much would PEDs really change his career? Yeah. Aside from like, yeah, okay, so he's playing great, and then like he became like
just more physical,
and then what? He just secured himself like a position as like a role player in the NBA for a couple years. You know, like and how much would PEDs make a difference? All right, it might make him a little stronger and a little faster, but in the end, like a player in his position back in that time, I even think like now, like with the way like sports are changed, like the style of play, it's weird. It's like skill is so much, and like game intelligence and like smarts. Like think about it soccer wise. Like I started taking steroids. Mm. Would I start on the NJIT men's soccer team? Probably not.
I would say so.
Probably not. I don't think so.
If you took steroids, for sure.
I don't think so. What would that change? Because my skill level would still be the same.
Yeah, but you could just body guys. You could just fucking body guys and fucking shoot it. No one would be able to take the ball from you because you're so fucking strong. Yeah, but
would it make that much of a difference? Like, I don't know if it would. I think it would make me definitely, like, a little more dominant. Like, I would be able to do things. But that doesn't change your touch. That doesn't change... Maybe gives you a little bit more speed.
I mean, look at Mamadou, though. Look at Mamadou Gerassi. The only reason...
Doesn't increase my height. And listen,
I think... I love him. He's my boy. But he didn't have the best touch. He didn't have the most technique. But you know what he was? Fast and fucking strong, bro. Granted, he's, what, 6'3"?
6'1 or 6'2.
What? He's a little taller than you.
Yeah, he's...
But like, what was he? Like 2-3 inches. What was his game plan? Kick the fucking ball and fucking run after it. You got a defender coming up to you, take a 10-yard touch and get to the ball before he can. And he ain't catching up to you either. You feel me? That's his whole shit. Now, granted, I don't know how he is now if he's developed into a better technical player, but that's what got him through NCAA. Right? You make him shorter, you make him slower, you make him fatter, like not as fast.
Yeah, but I can't he's not grow gonna be that height.
I know, but what I'm saying is, that's what I'm saying. If you get stronger, you get bigger, you get faster.
It makes a certain percentage difference. But let's say you put Mo on steroids, he's not going to the MLS or the fucking. He's not going to the MLS or he's not going fucking.
He was. He's in the all French third league.
Yeah, but he. Oh, all right, bro. Like he's not gonna go play in fucking. All right. In one of the top five leagues in Europe because he got a little bit stronger and a little bit faster. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same thing with, like, let's say, like, an NCAA football player who, like, plays for some shitty team and isn't that good but then gets, like, stronger and faster. Like, there are guys who are stronger and faster, his height, who have more skill, who are already in the league. Like, the skill is a big difference. I think that in sports, I don't know how much of a difference it really makes. You know, I don't know.
Regardless, it's a very controversial subject. And we would like to bring some more controversial subjects to the podcast. I've looked up the top 22 controversies that rock the world of sports. Simply, this is just in 2021. There we go. Sports history. I found a website that has the 35 biggest scandals in sports history.
Let's go also talk about, like, if we know it or if we're not familiar.
Black Sox scandal, no clue. Tuck rule?
Yes, the Tuck rule, big one. You don't know that?
Late in 2001, AFC divisional playoff game between Patriots and the Raiders, Brady attempted a pass but returned the ball back to his body. He was hit by somebody, dislodged the ball, and he recovered it, or the Raiders recovered the ball. The referees ruled that since Brady performed the throwing motion but returned the ball back to his body while still in his hands, it actually counted as an incomplete pass known as now the Tuck Rule, which, despite the fact that it was 100% written as such in the NFL rulebook. As we know, the New England Patriots would advance and win the Super Bowl, and...
Tuck Rule was a big thing.
I mean, so what is this? Just the fact that because he began to try to pass, but try to bring it back.
He went like this. He went...
Yeah, the forward motion.
He did the whole forward motion and then, like, brought it back in. But because he did that forward motion, like that counts as, like, an incomplete pass. Because
he was in the motion of passing. Yeah. I think that that's bullshit.
It is bullshit once you tuck it in.
If you cock it back, it's not... It's not a pass yet.
Well, he started to bring it forward, but then brought it in.
If there is a start point, there should be...
It's once your arm's going forward.
There should be an end point, right? If he didn't make the pass...
Then yeah, right? Then it should be...
Then it should be a fumble. Like, if he's coming... Yeah. If he's coming across his head, still going forward and gets fumbled, I get it. It's an incomplete pass. But if he stops his throwing motion and begins to bring the ball back into his body, he still is retaining retaining possession of the ball. And he is, or anybody, is decided to no longer pass. That means it's not a pass. It should be a fumble.
I agree, but it's the tuck rule, man.
It's the tuck rule now.
One of the biggest... controversies, yeah, I remember.
Jordan's retirement, nobody cares. The Mitchell report, don't even know what that is. Oh, wait. This is a good one. Tim Donaghy, fixing NBA game scores. They did a 30 for 30 on this, I believe.
I'm actually not familiar with this one.
For nearly 13 years, referee Tim Donaghy, blah, blah, whatever. He's a good guy, does shit for a lot of years. He would eventually plead guilty to two federal charges as a result of the FBI's investigation. Large impact came from an even greater mistrust from NBA officiating that many players and fans had already had. He became a household name after the FBI began investigating whether he potentially made calls during games that would affect the betting line of the game.
Ah, interesting.
So maybe not the outcome, but if it's like a plus 15...
I still think that happens in the NFL, but the NFL fucking... There's been too many times... where I've seen suspect play calls from teams and suspect
suspect
like decisions that don't make any sense that result in the line, like the spread. Let's say the spread was -6.5 or +6.5. The game ends at like 6 because a team went for 2 when they didn't need to go for 2. It was like, you're not supposed, like, in that situation, no one ever goes for 2. They end up going for 2. They hit, and sure enough, there was heavy betting on Buccaneers -6.5. So what happened? It didn't cover because the game ended 18-12. Odd score for an NFL game, but that's how it ended. There was multiple situations like that where teams went for 2 in weird situations.
There's definitely underground shit going on.
Hell yeah, bro. Especially like, with the NFL.
These people are getting bonuses for doing shit, and I think that it's easy to see that, especially when it's already happened. Kobe Bryant's arrest in Colorado, I don't care. Battle of the Sexes.
I don't know that.
I don't care. New Orleans Saints bounty scandal?
I didn't know that.
The most commonly referred to by the NFL viewing public as Bounty Gate. The infamous bounty scandal associated with the Saints. First, the accusations of players being paid in order to inflict other players getting injuries, like their opponents getting injured.
That's a good one.
So most notably, defensive coordinator Greg Williams... was incentivized Greg Williams,
wow.
To injure Brett Favre when he was still on the Vikings in the championship games.
Wow.
I mean, bro.
That's pretty fucking interesting.
Does Bodo do that?
No.
Blade him!
Yeah, but like that's also like soccer injuries are different than like you could kick the shit out of a guy.
I actually understand this in a way. I don't understand just incentivizing players to injure people to win games.
Just to strictly take out
one of their best players. I think that's fucking dumb, and I think that's like that's so stupid because you're admitting essentially that you could not win this game. If that other player was on the team, like you're admitting that you're not better than this other team as it stands. However, if there's a player on the other team that's a fucking dick, for instance, I'm gonna use soccer. This has happened numerous times where a player on the other team is fucking going after tackles, being ultra aggressive, being a fucking cock. He's diving all the time.
Yeah,
he's complaining. He's fouling. He's doing all this bullshit, and he's to try to get into the heads of our players. Then, especially if he's gone into rough tackles and injured some of our players, to fucking go after that kid and fucking teach him a lesson to let him know he can't keep fucking doing this shit.
Yeah,
and that we're not just gonna sit here and allow for that to happen. I think that is completely respectable. But just to take out a player because he's their best player and you can't win if he plays against you, I think that's soft and you're a pussy.
I agree.
Figure out ways to beat him. That's admitting that you're not good enough.
Yeah, but offering like incentives, like that's like crossing the line, you know? That's
yeah, but how else would you get players to do this?
You tell guys will do it fucking happily. I mean, that's kind of like contrary. Wait, scroll down. I want to see if there's what else there is before we wrap it up.
Domestic violence with Ray Rice. We all know
that one. We all know that one, yeah.
Fucking rocked their shit. In the elevator, right?
Yeah.
Attack on Nancy Kerrigan, I don't care.
I mean,
oh, the hand of God. Hand of God.
I saw this today.
Really?
That jersey was getting auctioned off. I don't know if it's sold, but the highest bid when I checked was $4 million.
The shirt he was wearing during this?
Yeah, the jersey that he wore for that game. Today, I read about it.
Maradona had a pass from a ball, which
anyone who doesn't actually
put him off sides.
No. What? What kind of fucking article? Skip this. What happened is he jumped for a ball, right? It was like deflected. He jumped for the ball with the goalkeeper and like essentially used his arm to score instead of using his head. And they didn't call it. And it was super controversial, but
Delonte West and LeBron.
Oh, James. That's a classic story.
I don't remember this one.
This guy fucked LeBron's wife. No, LeBron, not wife, mom. Mom, he fucked LeBron.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, this is known. Classic story.
Both entering and after the game, numerous allegations emerged about teammate Delonte West potentially having some type of relationship with his mother.
Yes.
While nothing has ever been proven, it's undoubtedly a key
reason. It's confirmed.
The Cavs fell short and why James ultimately left the Cavs. I didn't know that.
I don't know if he left the Cavs because of it. I know it was like a big controversy though.
Definitely played a factor. Was this guy still on the team when LeBron left?
I don't know.
When did LeBron leave? 06?
No. 09?
09?
Oh, 09.
Let's figure this.
9, 10, LeBron or 11? LeBron
leave the Cavs.
2007,
he had led the Cavs. Left the as yeah, a yeah. Case, two, summer 2010. 2010.
Yeah.
So let's say Cavaliers roster in 2009. What's this guy's name?
Delonte Williams or
Delonte West.
West.
I don't see him.
Yeah, he was off.
He was.
Oh, he was?
Yep.
Wow.
He was on the team until after 2010 ended. So they probably left either both the same time or LeBron left first.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Do a few more.
The League World Series. North Carolina scandal. Oh, this one's crazy. Steve Bartman in the championship.
I don't know this one.
Okay, so basically, there was a home run, or there was a fly ball.
Yeah.
I could see
on the picture.
It was a foul ball, and one of the players was going to go catch it, and a fan reached over and caught the ball. The other guy could have caught it, which would have been an out. I wonder if they said it. I forget at what rate. Okay, so they were leading 3-0. This guy called the ball.
Would it have been the third out?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, they would score 8 runs in the same inning.
Yeah, but, like, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know if it was the last out, though.
I think if it was the last out, that would be kind of fucked, but...
Yeah, that would be fucked.
Michael Vick. Classic.
Michael Vick classic. Fuck the dogs. Draft lottery?
Probably some shit about them fixing like...
Finals game. Reggie Bush. Yeah. Improper benefits. Oh, that was fucked. He got removed from all their Hall of Fames and he lost all of his championships.
The missed pass interference. I remember classic. This one. The Saints. The 2018. The Rams. Yeah, wow. Keep going because we don't have much...
I don't know who this guy is. Harassing an employee, no one cares. Someone videotaped the Patriots. Some lacrosse case. Someone probably got raped.
Ed Martin.
Fraud and missing. I don't know what that is. I don't know what this is. Death penalty. SMU.
Don't, probably some nonsense, dude.
Demise of the USFL. Trump. Deflated, Deflategate. That's a classic.
Keep
one.
Going, keep
Fuck
going.
Tom Brady, you cheater. Muhammad being rigged.
I don't know about it being rigged.
Apparently it was rigged. I don't know who
Pete Rose is. Yeah, Pete Rose is like similar Barry Bonds situation, roids and shit. Larry Nassar. Yeah.
This guy was her fucking sexually harassing all the fucking gymnastics team.
The Russia Larry Olympics. Larry Nassar. The Russia Olympic scandal's got to be on here.
Jerry Sandusky. Oh my God. This is Penn State. That was huge in my town, bro. That was fucking huge when that shit came out.
Oh, it was huge nationally, dude. Mm-hmm. Penn State, that program was huge at that point.
Lou didn't know. What was the who was the Dr. Lou? That was the coach, right?
No, Joe Paterno was the head coach.
Oh.
Sandusky was the assistant.
Sandusky. Yes.
Jerry Sandusky. We wanted my play.
Joe doesn't know. They said Joe doesn't know. That
was my joke in eighth grade. It was either eighth grade or sixth grade. We were playing basketball. We used to name our play calls after a college that was started with your first name. So mine would be Penn State, but my team, as a joke, we switched my play call to Sandusky instead of Penn State, which was kind of funny. But that was back in the day. Classic.
Regardless, it is now time to go
from the deep.
This may or may not be the last time you'll ever hear his name on this podcast, but Juan _ Zapata 10 commented, "Thank you guys for the wild ride. You'll always be in my heart."
You're fired, son. That's really what it. I mean, if it wasn't, we were joking partially, but yes. He actually got fired when he forgot to put the post out for the, was it last week's
episode? I was going to keep him as part of the group until he didn't post last week.
Yeah.
He's been failing the last three or four weeks, but it was fine. It was about time. Juan, we love you. You'll never listen to this. You'll never ever hear this. I know for a fact.
It's all right.
For the people who do listen, Juan did a great job. He learned a lot.
Episode 51 to episode 61?
61, correct.
Because 62 is semi-fired. He made it, it was, no, 11, right? 11.
He made a season worth.
A season plus one, and then now, that's it. Dude, he's gone. We're better off without him, to put it into simple words. And I won't shy away from calling him what he is. Which, actually, I won't say it right now because it's pretty disrespectful to him.
You heard it on the last podcast.
Yeah.
I still love you, Juan.
I mean, I love him, just not as a member.
A business associate.
Yeah, definitely not as a business associate. And if I ever had a job or a business and Juan asked for a job, I probably wouldn't give it to him. Unless it was a restaurant and he asked to be a waiter. Then, okay, maybe, but...
So, Juan, you can be a waiter.
Or a pizza delivery driver.
At Paul's Restaurant. And on that note, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Too Deep Motherfucking Podcast.
Please tune in. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, fucking Anchor, whatever the fuck you want.
Just go to our Anchor. It has all the links there.
And then follow us on Instagram at 2D Podcast. The classic. You know we say it every week. Catch you guys next week.
I almost forgot. Paul.
Oh, wait.
Are we releasing our mugs?
Maybe. Stay tuned.
If we get 50 likes on this episode's post, we will release mugs.
50 likes. Get there, and the mugs will come out. Pop, pop, pop.
Like it up, baby.
This bitch took a nap.
I wanted to get the drop in.
Oh, well, later.
Well, I'm gonna keep this in. Bye!